Howdy, regulars. This is Regular Dispatch 110. It's October 2nd, 2020. Despite tepid sales outside Texas, Shotgun Willie opened doors for Willie across the Lone Star State and opened Willie's mind to act on his impulses. He had enough money left over from the Atlantic Advance to buy a 44-acre ranch on Fitzhugh Road west of Austin, and had garnered enough local support that he started to believe he could do anything he wanted. When he couldn't get the Dripping Springs reunion out of his head, a bee buzzing around his bonnet told him a reunion of his own with all his favorite pickers sure would be fun. One afternoon in the late spring of 1973, he was sitting in the barn of his ranch, smoking a joint with Tim O'Connor, who'd rejoined his family. Out of the blue, Willie said, "I think I'm going to have a picnic." "Really?" Tim said, exhaling. "Yeah, I think so. What do you think, the 4th of July? "Willie, it's June 1st, said Tim with a reality check. "That should be plenty of time, don't you think?" Willie smiled. He wasn't kidding. He started calling up friends and seeing who wanted to come and work for nothing. He borrowed $5,000 from Joe Jamail, the Houston lawyer who was Coach Royal's good friend, and enlisted his old promoter buddies, Gene McCoslin from Dallas, Larry Trader from San Antonio, and Tom Gresham from Waco, to sell the picnic in their respective territories. He enlisted Eddie Wilson, Buddy Hederman, and the gang from the Armadillo World Headquarters to take care of Austin ticket sales and do the staging, since the hippies there knew how to put on concerts. Gene McCoslin thought up a creative way to pay everybody without incurring the heavy losses the promoters of the Dripping Springs reunion had taken the year before. The artists have all agreed to put all the money into a pile, and everybody gets his cut, McCausland explained with a straight face to the Dallas Morning News. Gino was a half-crazed, very wily, very charismatic Dallas nightclub owner who'd earned Willie's loyalty by steadily booking him into whatever joint or club he happened to be running, including his current venue, the Western Place, where he also booked Willie's protege, Johnny Bush, and his bandoleros as headliners. "He recognized talent and he recognized money," said Willie. With considerable experience operating clubs along the Harry Hines Strip in the sleazier part of Northwest Dallas, Gino spoke the language of old-school entertainment, where gambling, drugs, and prostitutes all figured in the income stream. In the same way Crash Stewart once booked Texas dates for Willie, while Lucky Moeller booked his dates everywhere else, Willie allowed Gino to informally operate on his behalf in Texas, while Neil Russian represented Willie in the rest of the world. There was more than a little used car Dixie Mafia in Gino, who never hesitated to display whatever firearm he happened to be packing. Unlike Willie, Gino had absolutely no crossover appeal to hippies. Guns intimidated the folks who ran the Armadillo World Headquarters, but did not impress. "He was a thug," Eddie Wilson of the Armadillo groused. Jerry Retzloff of Lone Star Beer did not dispute that assessment. "We had so many run-ins with Gino in Dallas when he was a retailer there. He pulled a gun on my district manager up there. He pulled a gun on everybody. His elevator would go up and down so quick." But Jerry quickly gleaned that Gino was someone you had to deal with because he was part of the Willie package. "When you're friends, Willie don't draw no boundaries and he never forgets you," he said. "Even Gino, or especially Gino." The Armadillo's attorney, Mike Tollison, and his accountant friend from college, Randy McCall, set up a budget for the picnic, managed the checkbook, and controlled ticket sales in Austin. Buddy Hederman and the Armadillo stage crew did most of the site prep and stage production, hiring Shoko Productions, the Dallas company regarded as the best in the business for concert sound. The first Willie Nelson 4th of July picnic was staged in 1973 in an open field, charitably described as a natural amphitheater, on Burt Hurlbut's 7,000-acre ranch near Dripping Springs, 40 miles west of Austin, the same site as the Dripping Springs reunion held the year before. The lineup was a mix of progressive and traditional country featuring Willie's expanding band, Fellow Renegades, including Waylon Jennings, Chris Christopherson and wife and duet partner Rita Coolidge, singer Sammy Smith, who had become Willie's frequent duet partner, a hot Texas songwriter who wrote for Waylon named Billy Joe Shaver, two other budding songwriters named John Prine and Lee Clayton, Willie's new hero, Leon Russell, country folk singer Tom T. Hall, old buddies Hank Cochran, Johnny Bush, Ray Price, Old guard stars like Loretta Lynn, Ernest Tubb, Larry Gatlin, and Charlie Rich, and George Chambers and his Country Gentlemen. The country dance band from San Antonio that Willie raided for David Zetner and B. Spears. Austin was represented by the Geezenslaws, Asleep at the Wheel, Jerry Jeff Walker, and Doug Somm and his Tex-Mex trip. Bob Dylan was a rumored guest but never showed. Willie gave away 300 tickets to the good people of his hometown, Abbott. Admission for everyone else was $5. Was $5.50, $6 at the door. With tickets sold at all Pant Place locations in Dallas, L&M Western stores in San Antonio, and the Armadillo in Austin. Country music stations across Texas, including KKYX and KVET, advertised the picnic, as did XERF in Mexico. Super Roper Radio, Coke FM, the new progressive country radio station in Austin, hyped the event around the clock. The demand was certainly there. Willie was promoting Shotgun Willie, and Waylon was fresh out of the chute with his smokinest, hard-rockinest album yet, Honky Tonk Heroes. Almost every song written by the hard-bitten, crazy-ass cowboy primitive from Waco, Billy Joe Shaver. Billy Joe and Willie were Texas country boys with once-upon-a-time dreams of writing songs for a living. Willie's realized Billy Joe's not quite yet, and a similar history. "We met in 56 out on the highway," Billy Joe recalled. "A guy named Johnny Dallas, real name Joe Poovy, introduced us. He was a friend of mine and he liked my songs." Willie wrote on a little matchbox, "Good luck with your songs in Nashville." "I used to admire him so much. I'd see him at the Terrace Club, the Night Owl. He'd play up and down that road, the Dallas Highway between West and Waco. Little bitty jobs that didn't pay no money. If I was in a bar where he was in there singing and someone was talking, I'd take them outside and whip their ass." They had palled around at Nashville after Billy Joe moved there in 1966. Willie would always say, "If you can help yourself with my name, go ahead." But he didn't really help, Billy Joe said. "He'd just get me drunk." That changed the year before at the Dripping Springs reunion in a trailer behind the stage. Billy Joe was singing "Willie the Wandering Gypsy and Me" when Waylon came in, higher than a kite. "Who wrote that song, Hoss?" Waylon asked Billy Joe. "I did," Billy Joe said. "You got any more of them cowboy songs?" Waylon asked him. "I've got a whole sack full," Billy Joe said, smiling sheepishly. "You come up to Nashville, and I'll record a whole album of your songs," Waylon promised him. Billy Joe did not forget. For 6 months, he chased after Waylon in Nashville. "Finally, I had had it," Billy Joe said. He was recording in the big studio at RCA full of wannabes, hangers-on, and bikers all over the place. "I was determined to get to him one way or another." Waylon's people thought the hulking big boy from Texas was a nuisance. Captain Midnight, a disc jockey friend of Waylon's, handed him a folded $100 bill and told him, "Waylon said for you to take this and vamoose." "Well, you just tell him to stick that up his ass," Billy Joe replied, fuming. Waylon stormed out of the control room, all pissed off, with a couple bikers on each side of him, all three headed to the restroom. Billy Joe followed. "What you want, Hoss?" Waylon glowered while standing at a urinal, giving Billy Joe the nastiest look he could conjure. "I tell you what I want," Billy Joe said, standing toe-to-toe with him, clutching his guitar in one hand. "I've got these songs here. You told me you was going to do this album." "I tell you what I'm going to do," Waylon said, clearly irritated. "I'm going to whip your ass in front of everybody." The bikers moved in, ready for a stomping. But Waylon pulled them back and moved in himself. "He started to come towards me, and I figured if he's going to take a shot, I'm going to take a shot too, because I used to box," Billy Joe said. Waylon grabbed him by his funny bone and said, "Come on with me, Hoss. I'm going to let you play one song. I'm going to have you do that Willie the Wandering Gypsy and Me. If I stop you in the middle of the song, you're going to have to get out the door, and that's the end of it. I don't ever want to see you again." Billy Joe played the song without being stopped. Then he did "Ain't No God in Mexico." "That's pretty good," Waylon allowed. "You got another one?" "Old Five and Dimers" came next. By the time Billy Joe got to Honky Tonk Heroes, Waylon slapped his knee. "I know what I got to do," he told Billy Joe. He called in his whole band and recorded the mess, Billy Joe said. All right, that's another passage from Joe Nick's biography of Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson, An Epic Life. Obviously incredible. You got The First Picnic, and you got that beautiful story of Billy Joe Shaver and his breakthrough with Waylon, surrounded by all his bikers, and just playing his heart out right there. There's a lesson for all of us there. You got to take your shot, play your heart out. And I got to find a biography of Billy Joe Shaver. Quite a life. Waylon, too, by the way. I don't have a biography of Waylon Jennings, and there should be a really good one. There should be documentaries on them both. There should be just a whole documentary series about all these people. Endless. It's just so great. Austin in 1973. Also got to love Willie just sitting around smoking a joint in June saying, hey, I'm going to do a picnic on July 4th. That's magic. Y'all have a good one. Thanks.